you know, when talking about like all the things we, you know, me and you have had, you know, many different conversations you and I have had over the last, it's been now a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, at least 2 years, probably.
Right. I mean, since we first connected, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, what's fun about this is like, I've got like probably five or six people I would actually consider friends now through the podcast that I've never met in person yet. So, but planning on it and just, you know, like the relationships you build. And I've had people actually ask me, you know, like, hey, are you making a bunch of money on your podcast yet? And I said, well, no, that wasn't my goal to begin with, right? You know, my goal is just to do something uncomfortable for myself and then start, you know, reaching out, meet more interesting people, build better relationships and be better as a person, like, you know, myself, like improve myself by doing uncomfortable things, right? When one was, you know, speaking publicly and putting myself out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, this is the start of our kind of joint venture that me and you have kind of talked back and forth on collaborating on something and trying to figure out what to do. And the idea itself of the format is your idea. So why don't you kind of break it down?
Well, yeah. So, I want to speak a little bit on what you were saying, you know, just starting podcasts. I did have in mind monetization, but it really quickly, it was a passion project based on passion.
Right.
There was a side, this decision that, oh, I'm going to do this. It's going to be lead to a business. Well, the crazy thing is for me, it didn't lead to the business I thought, but it basically birthed another business. So as far as podcasting goes, you know, people often ask, well, you know, can you monetize it? And my challenge to them is just do it. See where it takes you.
Because
if you go into it to monetize it, you're going to end up frustrated. If you go into it and just be consistent, things are going to go and it's monetizing. I've been able to monetize several different podcasts on several different levels. And quite frankly, just by being and doing and doing what I feel led to do, the amount of income generated from it. Now, mind you, it goes into a business for me has actually been more than I would normally make in a year or two from a podcast. So like anybody listening is like, oh, podcasting, blah, 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 you know, money. It's like, no, just do it. Just do it if you're passionate about it, because you just don't know where it's going to lead you with zero expectations. And something I love is low expectations, high sense of adventure. When we go on vacation with our kids, we're like, have low expectations and a high sense of adventure. You almost can't lose because you know, you just haven't set yourself up for failure. But what I love from this, you said, you know, you make friends, and that's been a really interesting thing because I've connected with a lot of men, a lot of people. Podcasts. I don't know how many different hundreds of people I've interviewed between the different podcasts I do.
Well, and the ones you've gone on too, right? Like the ones you get asked to do.
Oh, that's even more fun. But yeah, but in all, I have about eight people I would call friend, like real friends. That it's you know, you and I, we've gotten on, we've talked personal lives, we've shared deep stuff, and it's really. It lights my wick and that's awesome. It brings things next level. So I'm really glad we're doing this together. So the idea here is three parts, which I think every man needs to be embraced in, every woman too. But because I'm male, I choose to speak to males that's, boy, I got to get my notes out in front of me because I'm really sorry. I'm like engrossed in this previous conversation we were having. I'm trying to switch my head here.
I'm really
excited about it.
Wealth, right?
What's that?
Self, health, and then wealth, right?
Yes.
Those are like the three topics in.
Self and relationships. I want relationships in there, like, you know, which is a lot to do with self. So we can pretty much keep it in that trilogy. Because a lot of things we do for ourselves will encircle the things that, help us with our relationships. And, these are huge things, man.
Yeah.
I mean, a man has got to take care of himself. He's got to continually grow. And if you're not growing, you're dying. And if you are not growing right now, shame on you. You suck.
Right.
I would say get out of it and get going.
Yeah.
Do something.
I think that's one thing that, some people have a hard time with, which is, you know, being brutally honest, both with themselves and then also just like with people in their lives. And this is something with the self part, you know, I definitely want to get into. But like, I actually just had a buddy of mine, literally like 10 minutes before we got on the podcast, from Seattle, where I used to live, text me because he still works in that corporate environment that I used to be in. He's like, I just called somebody stupid today, just like he used to do. And it reminded me of like, you know, working with you. And it wasn't like he's bragging about just, you know, bashing on people or insulting people. It was, he grew up in that corporate environment. I did not. I was there for about 2.5 years. And you know, and one of the things that kind of kindled our friendship was I was this like, just this somebody that came in that's in their late 30s that was basically telling him, hey, this is like, why are you guys doing this? This is retarded. Like, can I say retarded? This is stupid. This is dumb. This doesn't make any sense. Right. Yeah. And he's like, well, you can't say that. Like, that's how we always do it. Like, no, you know, and you know, this is a conversation ad nauseum now, especially, you know, with podcasting and understanding that like the corporate environment, the old way of doing things just doesn't work. Right. You know, mm-hmm. Especially now that there's actually people have options, right. You don't have to do that. So it was interesting. It was fun to hear from him, who's a lot more conservative with like how he is on the corporate side of things when he's at his job versus how he is at home and outside of what he does with his family. It was cool to actually hear that from him. And the fact that I haven't talked to him probably in about 3 months. And that was his text out of the blue. Like, hey, I said this today, it reminded me of you. So yeah,
that's good. Yeah. So I think we're going to kind of circle around this self thing today. And like something I've learned over the last 2 years and I'm going to kind of try and lay this out is I used to really care about what people think. And now I understand that I shouldn't care about what people think, but there's still a little piece of it in me. Mm-hmm. And so what I've done is, but I also know that by making things fuzzy and warm, you're really not going to make that big of an impact. So now I'm actually not unapologetically, but I'm apologetically brutal. So I'll be brutal with somebody, but then I'm like, hey, look, I care about you. It's the only reason I'm saying this.
Right.
And I haven't got to that place where I'm just straight up gruff. Like, this is stupid. But literally I told a guy yesterday, he asked for advice and I said, well, let's talk. He went ahead and made a decision before. And I told him it was a stupid decision and it hurt. He got butthurt about it. I'm like, that was a bad decision. That was bad. I have a lot more experience in this situation. And you made a poor decision. And hey, look, just run with it and see what happens. Learn from it. But what I've learned is that those are people that aren't willing to grow. They're not looking to grow, because once you embrace what other people are saying without taking offense, then you're in a next level. You're like, you don't have to take people's advice. I don't take everybody's advice, especially if they're not in a better place than me. That's a big cue.
So, yeah. That I guess, like, from both our backgrounds, you know, like having been like, you used to own a CrossFit gym, right? A personal trainer, gym owner, that kind of stuff. And one of the things was, it wasn't about having like that perfect magazine cover body. But if, like, I always talk to clients, like, you know, how do you maintain, you know, your own workouts and what you try to do for yourself? And I'm sitting there going like, look, I can't expect somebody to pay me for my services when, pick a name, right? Like, where I look like I just came off like a weekend bender, right? Like, I've been drinking beer for the last year, you know what I mean? Like, if my belly's bigger than my chest, like, that's a bad idea, you know? Like, that's not going to work, you know, from what I'm doing. So, like, you have to have something from a image standpoint where, like, okay, when you look at somebody, or whether it's from, like, you're looking for financial advice, whether it's health advice, mental health, whatever it is, like, you're not going to take a mental health advice for somebody whose life is just a complete and utter mess, right? You know, so.
Well, on that, you know, I've always, look, let's get deep here. So vulnerability is number one key to growth, especially for men. It's incredibly going to be vulnerable. I struggle with my physique, but I will talk to people about habits. I will talk to people about routines. I'll talk to them about mental, emotional, psychological, because those are dialed. Those are continuing to run deep. My workouts are dialed. I lift weights five times a week. I use a strength program. I am relentless. Mm-hmm. In fact, most people tell me I overtrain. Scott, you may not be sleeping well because you are literally doing physical activity for 2 to 3 hours a day. And, but that, I love it. Like I just get, but if you're looking at me like, dude, you need to lose 15 pounds. I'm not going to tell somebody how to do nutrition.
No,
I do not have that dialed. I don't. And like, I think what I have learned is that I'm okay with this. I'm okay. I'm not okay. I'm going to work on my nutrition, and I'm looking for somebody who is where I want to be,
right?
And who has helped other people where I want to be, that can help me in the place that I am time wise. You know, if I had my druthers, I would hire a nutrition or a chef. You know, I've seen it on there's a show Billionaire. I don't know if anybody's watched it, but
oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, they got that chef.
Yeah.
Like, this is freaking amazing. If I could have somebody, I wake up and food's being made, because they can make food. You wonder why, like, these movie stars are ripped. Well, do you think that you really think they're going into their fridge and be like, huh, I got to eat this chicken strip or breast again. I'm bored of this. No, they're showing up to the table because they've told somebody, these are my goals. And that person has presented them with something extremely tasteful and right on par with what they need.
Well, that's their job too, right? Like that's their actual, their job. When you look at like an elite level of whatever, whether it's an actor or like an athlete, you know, somebody where their job is a big part of their job is like what they present, you know, on stage, or like a physical activity of what they do, right? Then 100%, especially if they've gotten to a level where that's all they do now, well, you have to think about like, you can get there fairly quickly if instead of 8 hours a day, you're putting into like a day job and then a side hustle and then your family and all sorts of stuff too, where it's like, you know, this is what I do, right? I have my nutritionist, I have my chef, I have my gym, I have my workout, you know, like you think about like, if you had 8 hours a day and once a week you had to perform for the job that you get paid to do, right? And those 8 hours in a day, or 7 hours, or six, even 4 hours, if you have 4 hours where you were able to just dedicate solely towards that one thing, where you're able to put out 4 hours a day to make your food, to do your workout, to practice your skill, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and they don't do four, they do like 8 to 10, right? Like, think how good you would be, right? You know, and I think that's where this part of like the self part, where you don't have to dedicate that much time and effort into it, right? It only actually takes a fraction of that if you really want to be successful within the life and the framework that you decide what you do. And that's actually what we talk about, like, as coaches, right? Whether it's a business coach, whether it's a fitness coach, is I don't just pick a formula and then try to peddle that formula. It's how do I get a high compliance factor, right? Like a higher percentage of compliance from my client. Okay. So then that's where you got to look at. That's what separates like the individual, as far as, okay, can I recognize my client's lifestyle? Can I recognize the obstacles that they have in their, you know, daily life? Can I recognize, you know, all the things where they are mentally? And then how am I going to get the best compliance out of them? Not the perfect program, but the best compliance, right? Mm-hmm. Once you get that, then you can start building off of that compliance, right? So, and the lesson there is like, how do you get that out of yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm in a place in my life where I know that. Well, so let me take this another place. A really big conversation in my world, in the fitness world, in the health nutrition world, in the personal development world, is do hard things. Challenge yourself every single day. And we all know, in fact, I was just listening to John Maxwell. You know, he's been in this game for a long time. He's like, we're all growth. Every piece, every sliver of growth is outside your comfort zone.
Right.
And this is not a new thing. And look, my way of developing myself is the same way I'd kind of develop my routine for the day. I'm stacking. I'm taking one thing and getting it dialed.
Yeah.
And so guess where I'm at right now? I'm at the place where a lot of things are dialed and I got to focus on nutrition. And so that's my personal, like, do a hard thing every day. Make good choices of food and spend the time doing I got to do with food. So I think, like, if you were to say, what's the one thing where can I start? Where can I start in improving myself? It's like, just do something that's uncomfortable every single day, and then alleviate things, dismiss, remove things that, as you start to add good things, for every good thing you do, remove something that's not so good.
Right. So let's kind of you know, now that we cover some of that stuff, let's kind of focus this a little bit on, since we have this series we want to put out, right, in this information, right? So first of all, I'm going to throw a little disclaimer out, right? By no means, I know myself and I know you, knowing you well enough now for the last couple of years, are we saying like, our life is perfect, we have no problems on a daily basis, right? We've got this whole thing dialed in, right? And now we're going to peddle this, you know, like snake oil routine, and this is going to fix everybody's life. Right? So no, you know, I don't feel like we have to say that, but sometimes I feel like you kind of have to, just to kind of put that out there. The whole concept of self, right, is, and I actually tell my wife this, is if you are no good to yourself, you're no good to anybody else, as a wife, as a mother, as a, you know, cause she's a strength coach, as a coach to your clients. Right. So like you have to be a little bit selfish, and part of it is you got to start with yourself. Right. So I think for us, let's talk from a place of like what we know, you know, like that whole phrase of kind of stay in your lane. Like, well, my lane is right. All right. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm in my early 40s. Right. I've changed careers numerous times. I have a phenomenal work ethic. I know that surely from just like the things I attack, right? And I know my faults. Okay. So I think from the self standpoint, from everybody, when they start looking at, you know, when you look at like the problem that's wrong with society today, and I know that's with men, right? And I know that's kind of a broad conversation, but that's kind of like where we're attacking this from, right? You know, this is where we want this focused conversation to go, especially fathers, is instead of looking outwardly and blaming everybody else on problems, right? You look at this concept of ownership and you start looking at, you know, because everybody asks like where to start, right? Like, where do I start? Where do I start? Do you start with your health? Do you start with your fitness? Do you start with, you know, so I always say like, start with yourself, right? Everything with self. So first of all, assume everything in your life is your fault, is your control, right? And then from there, it's, where do you want to look at making like the biggest changes that are going to have like the most impact on your life? That aren't going to require like a massive, massive change. Because we know when it comes to massive change, like moving an oak tree, right? It's almost impossible, right? But if you can start incorporating little changes and making those like incremental gains every day, like stress adaptation recovery, like that concept, you know, you and I both know that from training, then you're going to grow. Like, it's going to happen, and especially if you're not just doing the same thing with the same stress level on an everyday basis. So I think the first thing when you're looking at self is identifying where your, like, looking inwardly, like where your failures are, right? You know, so what do you want to prove in your life? Where are you falling short in your life? You know, where are you unhappy in your life, right? So looking at those like dynamics, right? You know, and that all comes back to like the mental health aspect, right?
Yeah, it does. And I want to kind of circle back on two things you said. Number one is everything is your fault.
Yeah.
You just freaking have to embrace that.
Yeah.
Stop making excuses. And this is something that I have mastered, and I will fall back on. I will fail on it again. But like, look, if my wife is upset about something and mm-hmm. it's nothing I had, you know, I feel like I didn't have control over it, she's misinterpreting it, guess what? It's still 100% my fault. That's right. The way you have to look at everything, because there is always a line back to you. Always. If you're like, even, you know, we can get deep here. I've been brutal to some men. I'm like, you know, I'm really struggling with the wife. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to have sex. She's, you know, not interested in me anymore. And I'm like, it's your fault. And she's like, they're like, no, she's looking at other men, or she's interested in this guy at work. I'm like, that's your fault.
Yep. 100%. Yeah. And it, let's make sure we kind of put this out there too. It doesn't mean what we're saying is be this like groveling, sniveling, like, you know, like self-pitying, you know, beta, you know, version, right? What we're saying is embrace the fact that you have ownership of your life.
Yeah.
You have a lot more control over your life than you think you do, right? And when you are, and it's funny because I'm actually having this conversation daily with my kids, right? That if everybody just focused on like when all five kids or three kids or two kids, however many kids you have, right? Or people like in a company or a relationship. If you guys are constantly looking at like, well, she said this and he did that and they did this, I'm like, nothing's going to get resolved. If you look at a confrontation, you go, or a conflict and go, what was my role in that? What could I have changed in that? Mm-hmm. And then if every single person in that conflict looked at it that way, then number one, you're probably going to get a better resolution from that conflict. Number two, okay, relationship wise going forward, you're probably not going to have as many of those issues come up. And more importantly, you're going to have more success in that environment, whatever it is, whether it's your relationship with your fitness, your job, your career, your significant other, your children, right? Like, and that's, and again, going back to what we said earlier, as far as like not claiming like we have the answers to everything, like my biggest struggle right now is balancing conversation with my 13-year-old son down to my 3-year-old daughter and then the three girls in between, and how not to constantly get frustrated because I can't talk to each one the exact same way, no. Right? No, it doesn't work, right? So, and then of course I can't blame them because, you know, they're children, right? So that goes back to the ownership of like the downfall in the communication of them not listening and them not, you know, falling in line with where we want to go as a family is not on them. They're children, right? It's on me because I'm the leader of the pack, right? The leader of the family, right? So where do I look at improving my communication with them? Where do I look at improving how I react to things they do, right? Where do I look at like not taking things personal that they do because they're children, right? So like that's what we mean by like ownership of responsibility of like what's going on in your life.
Yeah. Now while you were saying all that, it resonated very well. And then I realized we're always going to have those people say, well, mm-hmm. You can't blame me for the way the government is acting. Here's what I can say. I'm like, okay. So I've always said, you know, stand in some sand and with a stick, do a circle and draw a line around or a circle around yourself. And that's what you need. That's what you should focus right. on yourself. Fix everything inside that circle. Well, guess what? If the government makes a decision you're not happy with,
right?
It's going to do you no good to grovel and whine about it.
Right.
What I'm saying is, what about how can you fix what's going on inside of there? In other words, my one of my favorite saying is raise the rent on your head. Like you don't have to agree with what they're saying, but you need to change the narrative of your head so that you don't become a victim to it.
Mm-hmm.
You are looking at it from a lens of how can I improve my circumstances given this situation? Where am I at now? And what are the decisions I'm willing to die on? Where and what are the decisions I'm willing to go ahead and say, okay, like, okay, I don't have control over this. How can I best live my life based on this situation? And when you start throwing blame on a situation you don't have direct control over, or you know, you can be a change agent. Don't get me wrong,
mm-hmm.
but you must focus on what you can control. So this self and this I'm to blame for X situation when it's applied to something like government or politics, I'm to blame on how I respond in this situation. I'm to blame on, you know, how I control the narrative with my family on this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying be compliant. Don't get me wrong. Like you're going to find out real quick from me. There's things that I will live and die on. And, you know, I'm very big on personal freedom.
Yeah.
I do live in the United States, just so y'all know. And so that is is very important to me. It's very interesting because, I don't want to go there. It's just interesting talking to people in other countries.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Do not understand this concept because it just has not been a part of their culture. So moving on from that, draw that circle around yourself. And then that's where all the focus goes. And the saying I've always used is the buck stops here and you're like, everything is your fault, which is much more straightforward. And I love that. I think that's step one. I think right. It's absolutely step one in self.
So I think the first thing is, you know, anybody who's going to be listening to this and moving forward with the series we're putting out is understanding like to start making, to be successful in making any positive change in your life, you have to take that ownership of like everything is my fault. And that gets back to what we just said, right? Meaning you have more control over what's happening in your life than you think you do. So if you take that ownership, and again, not in a self-pitying way, but in a looking inwardly as far as what is my role and what happens in my life on a daily basis, right? Is it my landlord's fault because he's an asshole? Is it my wife's fault that she doesn't want to sleep with me? You know, is it my children's fault that like we fight all the time? Is it my job's fault, like my career, my boss's fault that, you know, I have a crappy job, right? That I'm not happy with, that I'm not fulfilled with, that I don't have the financial flexibility that I want, right? Is it their fault? No. Everything I just listed right now, it all directly comes back to you, yourself, and the decisions you've made. And one of my favorite quotes that encompasses everything we're talking about right now is, and I don't know, I can't remember who said it. I'm going to have to look it back up, and then on the next episode, I'll give the credit, which is all the best decisions you've ever made in your life have led you to this moment. Right. And that really kind of sums it all up. Like everything you've done up to this moment, like if you understand string theory, if you understand like the concept of like everything is connected, everything you have done, whoever's fault it is, whoever, everything you've done, everything that's happened in your life to this moment where you're complaining and bitching and moaning and crying about everything that's happening in your life, right, is the sum of all the decisions that you've made in your life. And once you wrap your head around that concept and embrace it, then you can really start making changes to impact your life moving forward with where you want to go. And it doesn't mean you have to know where you want to go right away, because that's not really what it is. It's more about, okay, what do I need to change? Like if you're an alcoholic, you go like, okay, the self-realization is I am an alcoholic. Whether you're a functioning alcoholic or you're, you know, a month away from dying of, kidney failure, liver failure, whatever it is, right? Okay. It's taking ownership of that problem. Okay. Then it's, all right, where do I want to go from here with this? Right. Okay. So, and that's kind of really where I think that's where we are with what we want to do here, is where it's that concept of taking ownership of your life, number one. And then it's, what are the things you can do from a self standpoint to start making the changes moving forward? And, you know, and I think the health part really matters, but I think if you look at it overall, it's adopting a mindset of, I own my life, I own the narrative of my life, and I own the decisions that are made in my life. So now I am going to start dictating the direction of my life. Right. And I think that's where, if you have a hard time with that, if you really struggle with that, if you really have a problem with self-discipline in that way, that's where the other things start coming into play, which is what you talked about earlier, like do hard things. Right. Cause that's where you build those habits. Yep. Right. Go commit and financially, you know, commit to something that's difficult that you may not like to do, but you know for a fact, if you're honest with yourself and you know the people around you and people that you pay attention to that are successful in life, whatever you deem success as, that those are things that they do on a daily basis that you know is going to make you a better person. Like a workout, whatever kind of workout it is, lifting weights, going for a run, whatever. Like we can go down a rabbit hole there, you know, but something of a physical activity that is hard and difficult for you to do because you're doing nothing to begin with. If you commit to doing it, not to yourself, right? But if you put some kind of financial commitment to do it, right? Okay, that's a decision you made. That's something you're committing to. And it's something you're doing that you may not like to do, but you know you're going to be better for. Like, I don't know many people that have done a workout and go, oh man, I regret that workout. You know, I mean, let's really hurt themselves, but you know what I mean? But you get right. What I'm saying, right? Yeah. You know, the overall message is, like nobody ever says, I regret getting better today. Like you never see it. Yeah.
Well, so you said a few things that I kind of want to double down on. Number one, earlier you said something. You said start small and move in increments. That is key. Like one thing that Alex and I are going to talk about through this series are, if you were to take notes, you'd probably go away with 20, 25, 30, 35 things that you want to start. And that's not the point. The point is pick. What I did when I started making massive transformation is I kind of put my values in order. What's first? And so then I picked the one thing that I knew would move the needle for me the most in that category. Until I nailed it down, then I picked another thing and I worked in order of my values, and it's dramatically, dramatically changed my life. It took, like, listen, let me put it this way. It took me from working 60 to 100 hours a week to working 15 to 30 hours a week.
Yeah.
It took me from fearing about money to having a completely different mindset about money and then money coming. It took me from wanting a business to having a thriving business. It took me from working out inconsistently to hating, absolutely hating missing a workout. But it was one thing at a time. Start small and incremental, number one. Number two, you talked about everything you've done right has led you to this moment. I want you to also think of everything you've done wrong has led you to this moment, because if not for the failures I have made, John Maxwell says fail forward. I think that's one of the 21 laws that are irrefutable or whatever. If you fail forward, you learn from your failure and you upgrade next time. Something that really came to my mind, I don't think I've heard this from anything else. Maybe someone else has coined this, but I'm going to claim it. There's a few things I'll claim. This one is succeed forward. And what I mean by that is I've had some big wins in my life and then I sat back or I thought I had arrived. The minute you think you've arrived is the minute you stop growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've missed some massive opportunities because I did not succeed forward.
Right.
I succeeded neutral. And so if your life has sucked and you've made really bad decisions with money, finances, relationships, your kids, like just look at that as growth opportunity. Nothing more. Nothing more. What did I do wrong there? I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you that I have had that experience and I don't have to go through that again.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. And that's actually kind of like what we were talking about and what I was getting at with that, which is, you know, I'm probably in the best place in my life and I'm still nowhere near where I want to be, but I'm in the best place in my life. And it's coming off of one of the worst failures in my life, you know, 4+ years ago. And it's understanding that, like, if I just went down this rabbit hole, and, you know, this is a conversation you and I have had, off air, is if I went down this rabbit hole of like, woe is me and, my life sucks and, you know, my wife doesn't want me or, I made these like horrible decisions and that means I totally destroyed my reputation and everything else. Then I wouldn't be in like the best situation that I've been in up to this point at almost 42 years old, you know, like with my life, you know, where there's some financial flexibility, there's options, there's taking back ownership of our life, you know, like my wife and I with our kids and our schedule and what we're doing. Right. And that falls into what I talked to you about before, like when we were in California a couple of weeks ago, which was, it's really easy. I'm in a spot right now where, and you know, this is being brutally honest, I'm in a place right now where it's easy for me to wake up at 5 a.m. look at the clock, it's 3 p.m. and be like, wow, I was really busy today. But like, if I was honest with myself, like I didn't accomplish anything. You know what I mean? Like I have 5 kids and I'm married and I have 2 or 3 different jobs I do as far as like my own businesses go. But I can be very busy, but like nothing was accomplished. There wasn't anything productive that happened in that time because there's so much happening in my life that can keep me busy and time is always moving forward. So if you don't have a plan in place, if you aren't actually being productive, and that kind of gets to what you were saying, which is you don't have to know exactly the end game of where you want to go, right? But if you can pick something, like if you can put like a flag, you know, plant a flag and go like, you know, I'd like to be here compared to where I am right now. And then work your way backwards, you know, with an actual visual, tangible, like substantive, like plan from the point where you want to be back to where you are like right now today. Then it becomes real. It doesn't become this thing that's like so far out that you can't actually even envision it being something of a reality, right? Like we get told when we went back to California to go visit family for my wife's, you know, sister's wedding. We moved from California 5.5 years ago and we talked to people that we ran into, we hadn't seen in years. They're like, how's Washington? We're like, we're in Montana now. They're like, what? Like when? Like, oh, we moved last year. Why? Told them why, right? COVID, blah, 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 you know, et cetera. Better life opportunities. And to a T, every person was like, man, you guys are brave. You have kids and this and that, and you guys are doing it. Man, we're stuck here. I was like, we live in America. You can go do whatever you want. Which like, we just, and it's not like we're perfect and we haven't had problems and we haven't had, you know, made mistakes, but like we acted on action because of things we wanted to do, right? And whether it's myself or my wife as a team, we decided we want to do these things. And then we took steps to make sure those things happened, right? So it's frustrating sometimes to talk to people. And, you know, when you leave a place that you grew up in, then you come back to it and you talk to some people that are still there. And it's not saying everybody that's still there is a failure. What I'm saying is when you talk to people and you can tell they're not happy, right? Yeah. Especially if they actually tell you, I don't want to be here. And they tell you, I'm not happy with my life. And they tell you that I actually want to go move here. I actually want to do this for a living. I actually want to do that. And you ask them, like, well, why aren't you doing that? Like, what are you doing right now to do it? And then the voice changes, that their tone changes, and all the excuses come out as far as like how it's everybody else's fault, not theirs, right? Things they can't control, right? Man, that's really, really hard to listen to, especially when you as an individual have gone through all the things that you've gone through to get to where you are. And you know that you can do whatever you want for the most part, especially here in this country. And you decide that you're going to stay where you are. You decide, right? Those are decisions. And I think that's the first step, is going back to, you have to take ownership of your life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. the thing that came to my mind while you said that is comfort is the death of progress.
Right.
And, you know, it's the same story I've told hundreds of times. You know, you're in an emergency position. You have to go to the bathroom bad, mm-hmm. and there's no way around it. And you run into the outhouse and that place is putrid and gross, and you're there for a little bit and you get comfortable and you're like, oh, you know, I just need some time. And you come out and you're all peachy and happy. And then the next person blows that door open and you can see that they've just been hit with, you know, this bomb. Well, I equate people who don't change and wish they would change. Mm-hmm. They are sitting in their own outhouse. They are sitting in stench, but yeah. they're comfortable with it.
Yep.
And hey, look, if you are in the same job and you don't ever want to leave your job, I'm not telling you to move, but right. I'm telling you the minute you say, that is so cool. You could do that. I could never do that, but I would really like to. That's the minute you need to really dig deep and find out, is there truth to that? Cause the answer is no.
So what do you think? And this is kind of where like I run into, probably the biggest obstacles when I'm talking to people now, like in my consulting business, right? I have some ideas on this and some thoughts, right? But what do you think, like for men especially, what do you think is the biggest obstacle that men run into when they're in a position in their lives where they're in their 30s, 40s, they have a job that they don't enjoy, their family life they don't enjoy, and pretty much overall, like their life as a whole, they're not really enjoying it. They're basically just reacting to you on a daily basis. Like it, and it starts from the time that they wake up in the morning. The alarm goes off and it's like, crap, they're reacting to the alarm. I wake up and then it's, oh, I got to go to work. Right. And then it's running late to the job, barely getting there. And then it's basically just reacting to the day that's going on and waiting until the fact that, you know, that timer goes off that where they can go home, you know, whether it's a job that they're doing from home, whether it's a job that they're in person, you know, whatever it is, high paying, low paying, right? The fact that they don't enjoy it at all whatsoever. And then you look at the rest of the day and it's going home from work. If there's a commute, then you're stuck in traffic. And then it's doing this with the children if you got the kids. And then it's, I got to do something, figure out, oh, I got to make dinner, right? Or my wife's making dinner. And then it's boom, boom, boom. And then, you know what? I probably should go to bed at a decent time because I got to get up early tomorrow. But, you know, I want to reward myself because my day sucked. So I'm going to have a drink or two and I'm going to stay up and watch Netflix till like midnight, right? And then that cycle starts over, right? And then that's the living for the weekend thing, right? Monday sucks, Friday's awesome.
A trap, dude.
Right. So where do you think that mentality comes from? Do you think like people just wake up and they're like, holy shit, I'm here? Or do you think it's something that it's a lack of training or understanding of like a mindset when you get there, you know?
I think it's cultural. Mm-hmm. I think there's a big cultural thing. So there's so many. I think there's a lot of.
Let's pick three common things. Three common things. Like if you talk to the average guy that is in this environment, job they don't like, has a family, not really the best family life. You know what I mean? And you know, like the typical problem that we deal with most. That.
What is the problem?
Yeah. What do you think? Like, is there three issues that are really kind of like that causes that? Right.
They bought into what they think society wants them to do. They're living inside the box of norm.
Right.
Number two, that's they're living in fear and are afraid to live the dream that they have that they're not willing to admit or share. And I don't know what number, I think I said 1-3, number two, number three, this is really hard because I have people that I know that are in corporate jobs mm-hmm. and they literally live like zombies, literally. Yep. And then they go on vacation. They have a great week and they do it about four times a year, five times a year. They have this great week, all their money's spent. They do this thing and they have great money in the bank. But when you talk to them,
they're just depressed.
Dead inside.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I think they got caught in a trap very early on and, like, look, I have a doctor or a master's degree, but I think school and mm-hmm. education is typically has turned into a programming of how you should do things. And I don't think people ever escape that.
Yeah.
Go to work, do your thing, get a pension or a 401k, have great health insurance. Don't risk anything. Put your money in someone else's hands and you'll retire and you'll quit. Look, maybe it comes down to this, is you have an out. Look, this is how I want to say this. There is research for people who are in encampments when they've been caught prisoners of war. If they say, oh, I'm going to get out on certain day, I know it. Guess what happens? They die. The guys that lived for the day, I believe I have this right, are the guys who thrived. Like, we're never getting out of here. And they actually lived. They actually made it through. I think retirement, this is going to really ruffle some people's feathers. Having a plan for retirement is putting the own nail in your life of excitement and fun.
Yeah.
You're living for a due date. You're living for a date that, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And I hear what you're saying. You're talking from a standpoint of like that old, that previous generation of you work for 30 years, you know, from like your 20s to your 50s, right? Or even 60s, whatever it is, right? And then you get your retirement and then you're done, right? And then basically that's it. And we know, like, we can go down a rabbit hole of like statistics of what happens when men stop working and when they stop having a purpose, right? I mean, you know, and what happens to them, whether it's, you know, you see this in the military, guys coming out of the military in their 20s and they don't have a purpose anymore. They don't have a mission. They're not mission driven. They're not purpose driven. And then that's where all the problems start, right? And this is not coming from me. This is talking from people who have been in the military, who have studied it, psychologists, all those things, right? And then you look at life expectancy for men. And to preface, we're talking about men because, again, this is kind of going back to staying in your lane. Like, this is what we know, right? So you look at men who, if they're working a job that they couldn't stand for 30, 40 years, what do you think that does to you mentally? What do you think it does to you physically? What do you think that does to you, to your decision-making process, to your pleasure-seeking decisions, right? Smoking, drinking, porn, you know, all those like instant gratification things that are like, you know, that hit the endorphins like boom, 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 quick, right? And then you have that immediate letdown like a drug, okay? Yep. Versus somebody who's every day they wake up and like, sweet, like it has nothing to do with Monday or Wednesday or Friday. It's, oh, what do I get to do today? What am I working on today? What are the projects I'm working on today? Right? Like, that's a completely different mindset. And, you know, maybe for me, like, you know, I was aware of that because I didn't get into that environment of like, oh God, it's Monday. Woohoo, it's Friday, until I was 37 years old. And I took on this career that I, you know, wasn't really optimal, but like worked for the family for a little bit of time. But I got a taste of what I was hearing from clients for so many years. Right. So I was well aware of like, oh, this is a trap. Like, holy crap, I got to get out of this like fast, right? Like, I can't stay in this long. So I think that thing where the turn of the century and then post-World War II, you had like, if you have a job and it pays you and you have a roof over your head and you have food and you have clothes, especially coming out of the Depression in World War II, where you had like 20 some odd years, 30 years of like war and famine, and, you know, potential like nuclear line annihilation. It's, that was the American dream. Okay. Yep. But we know for progress's sake that like, you can't just stay still and stay static. So we're beyond that now, right? Like, you have options. Okay. The fact that me and you are friends and we've never met in person and we're having this conversation right now due to this technology that's evolved. Okay. Means these are decisions that me and you have made. These are actions that we have taken to learn, right? We didn't take a class on how to become a podcaster. We didn't take a class on how to become an entrepreneur. Right? Like, we worked, we struggled, we failed. But like that thing you said, like, fail forward, right? And I think that's where the people that struggle the most with that thing we're talking about, which is that repetition of like, you know, dread and failure every single day, and you're just reacting to life versus actually living your life, is that's where people don't know where. And I think that's where the only good thing I've seen come out of this like whole COVID situation, where there's this big uproar about like a shortage in the workforce, is more and more people realize, because they were given a little bit of a buffer financially with unemployment and the stimulus to stay home and not work. And some people decided just to sit on their butts and do nothing. But a lot of people decided, hey, that thing I wanted to do for a really long time, I actually have time and the financial flexibility, like 3 or 4 months, to actually try this and see what happens, right? And I think that's more of what happened, because we know now, especially with the unemployment thing ending, that it's not just people living on unemployment and the stimulus. Like that's gone. Like that money's gone, right? Yeah. Like and it wasn't a ton of money to begin with, right? And we're still having a massive work shortage, right, in the labor force, or what they perceive as a labor force, right? Like that whole, yeah. So
this is really interesting. I did an interview today for one of my podcasts, and it was with a gal who was a very successful lawyer and mm-hmm. making ridiculous amounts of money. And through COVID, she's like, you know what? I'm going to be a coach.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a coach for women. She's like, I made more money last year than I made being a lawyer.
Right.
And I was 100 times happier. And I was like, wow, that is tough. But another thing I think is, apart from men who are married mm-hmm. and women as well, is that our partner typically, and I'm going to generalize here, and I know there's dangerous in there, but women need stability and they value stability.
Right.
And when you say, I have this dream, I think there's a lot of dream crushers out there.
Oh,
they're trying to help. They think they're helping, but they're serving themselves. Now, men, you need to serve your wives and you need to spend your life serving your wife. But sometimes that means I have a dream and I need to follow it. And by doing that, I'm going to serve my wife better.
Yeah.
You'll look pretty stinking sexy when you make it on your own. Don't worry. There might be a rough patch, but it's going to be good later.
Yeah. There's a, there's a story, Bedros Koulian, who's a extremely successful entrepreneur, runs a leadership program, CEO of Fit Body Bootcamp. And I have no affiliation. It's just, I followed him for a long time and read his book. Like, one of the things he talked about when he was extremely successful financially, but struggled with the highest amount of anxiety was, when he realized that whole concept of like the bucket of crabs, right? Like, and if you guys don't know the analogy, right? It's the, if you've ever seen a bucket of crabs, like with the fishermen, right, at the wharf, is like you'll see the crabs are constantly trying to climb over each other to get out of the bucket, right? But what they do is, as soon as one starts making its way to the top, the rest start pulling that crab back down again. So what they do is they basically are just killing each other, right? They're keeping each other in misery. Nobody ever succeeds in that pile versus working, you know, instead of like actually working together to get out. And once he realized that concept, he was like, I have to cut all these crabs out of my life. Well, that goes to the self part of what we're talking about right now. One of the things is, one, take ownership of your life. And number two, part of that ownership is what is in your life? What do you surround yourself with on a daily basis? Like, who do you surround yourself with on a daily basis? You know, one of the things I told my therapist, you know, when, you know, my wife and I are going to this therapist that we, you know, started going to this past year just to work on old stuff. And he actually made a comment, and I'm not saying this to brag. He made a comment as far as like, man, you guys are farther ahead in understanding some of the concepts like I'm talking about with you guys versus a lot of other couples I work with. Like, you guys are years ahead. And I told him, I said, well, you know, 4 years ago when I had this like huge failure in my life and I had to kind of break everything down and build it back up again from like my core values of who I was as a person, the thing I did was like I eliminated part of it through my actions and part of it through like my own decisions, like all these negative influences and people in my life. And then I started surrounding myself, oddly enough, through podcasts, through messages like I wanted to learn from and I wanted to hear, you know, whether it was like, you know, Andy Stump's podcast, Joe Rogan's podcast, Jordan Peterson's podcast, you know, Lex Friedman, you know, on and on and on, Jocko, like all these podcasts that had to do it, and all the things that all these people had in common and the guests they had on were the same thing. All had massive failures in their life. All were in a place of success and all went through this trials and tribulation. And the common factor, no matter political affiliation, no matter outlook on certain things that we agree or disagree on when it comes to like whether it's guns, whether it comes to politics, whatever it is, it's take up ownership of your life, work hard, right? Be disciplined and make decisions and put things into place so you are going to be successful. But the biggest one was like cutting all the crap out of your life, right? Like, why would you constantly set yourself up to fail over and over again by inviting all this like negativity into your life on a daily basis? So cut out like the time vampires, cut out your own time vampires, right? Cut out the crabs in your life, right? And then watch how that, like, even if you have the same job over and over again, just do that alone first, like how much stress comes down. Right? How much your shoulders go, Wow. Okay. I don't have to deal with, you know, Dave's like 80th story today about how his wife's cheating on him, or how, you know, like my brother says, like my job sucks, or, you know, like how, you know, my dad is constantly going down this rabbit hole of just destroying his own health and well-being because he won't make the changes he needs to make. It's not saying I don't care about these people anymore. It's not saying that right. I'm a heartless, cold person. I don't care about anybody else. No, it's saying what we talked about at the beginning of this conversation. If you're no good to yourself, you're no good to anybody else.
And such a good message. And I think it's a good place to wrap up, but I want to put a little pin in that with, if your spouse, if you've committed to your spouse and you feel, and your spouse is not believing in your dreams and your spouse is negativity and your spouse is dragging you down, this is where I say you can't just weed somebody out. You can actually though, put those comments in a different bucket.
Right.
And just serve and love with those people you've made a commitment to. You have to alleviate people from your life. But when it comes to your spouse, you fell in love with this person at one point. This comes back to fixing yourself, not running to escape. So there's going to be some people you need to run and escape from. And then there's some people where, hey, if your wife doesn't believe in your dreams, guess what? It's because she doesn't see that you believe in yourself.
Right.
That's where you work on yourself. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So, I love that riff you just went on. It was really good. And it's so incredibly important.
It's something that I have run into on a daily basis with like where I used to be in my life. And then also like the people, especially having gone back to California, run into a lot of people that I used to, you know, family, friends, et cetera, even acquaintances that we kind of spend time with. And some people are farther along. And some people you realize like, you're in the exact same place you were 6 years ago when we left. And here's the reason why. And some people wanted to hear that message. A lot of people did not want to hear that message.
Right. You know?
And yeah, so it's interesting. So, but I think it speaks volumes. I think that's good, man. I think, on our next episode next week, I think what we should do is, put everything we kind of talked about today and put it into just kind of like a focus plan of what you do when you first attack, like the whole work on the self part, like the mental health part of it.
What a great idea.
Like, yeah.
Let's identify the problem and then let's help people tackle it.
Yep. So, yep. And then,
You can imagine you can come back for the strategy next.
Yeah. So the strategy next, and then after that, and then we'll get into the health part, like actual physical health part. And people will realize how that, this self-health part, like the mental side and the physical side, how they're all tied together, you know, and how they actually, and how if you get your health in order, like a mental health really kind of starts following and it goes hand in hand as well. So, yeah.
I've got some fun things to talk about in that area.
Sweet.
Looking forward to it.
All right, man. Thank you. Talk soon.